Luke 19, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. So I'm reading from the NIV, which is the same as we have as the church Bibles. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And I'm also just going to read from Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life."
Thanks very much, Chris. Let's look at this message of Zacchaeus, the lost tax collector. And I got Chris to read out that verse from Revelation 22, verse 17, because it's the last proposal or invitation in the Bible. Right there, just a few verses before the end of the Bible. And it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" Well, the Spirit is God. And the bride is the church. So it's God. God says, "Come." It's our job, church, to say, "Come. And let him who wishes." I take that to be the individual Christian. So God says, "Come." Church, it's our job to tell people to come to Jesus. And as individuals, we're to tell people, come to Jesus. And it's the very, very last invitation. Now, I think it's wonderful. Because all through the Bible, on page after page, God says, come. Jesus says, come. Come to me. And to me, it's almost as if we've got to the last few verses of Scripture. And just in case we've missed it, we get the invitation again. Come, come. And I don't know if you notice at the end there, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears," that's us, "say, come. He who is thirsty," or "she who is thirsty, come." And then at the end, it says, "And the one who wishes, come." And it's as if God's exhausted every way he can tell us to come to Jesus. And then he says, "Look, he who wishes, you can come." I think that's wonderful. Nobody is excluded. All can come. Do you know, we don't have to persuade God to save us. It's us that need persuading to be saved. And so I have three thoughts for today as we look at Zacchaeus. Lost, number one. Loved, number two. And found, number three. Lost, loved, and found. It's the story of Zacchaeus. It's the story of every Christian. And it's the story for the world. They need to know that they are lost, but Jesus loves them so they can be found. So let's come first of all to lost. Now, for those of you that have been here for the series, you know that when Jesus was talking in Luke 15, he was talking to tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes. And I said, you know, you in the middle of the tax collectors and sinners, and then on the edge were the Pharisees and scribes, and up the top there, because Pharisees and scribes have nothing to do with these sinners in the middle here. They think they're lost. They've got no hope for them. And we've been looking at through the series of how the in Luke 15 it talks about the Pharisees and the scribes, how they've fallen out of sympathy with God's heart, and how these messages of the lost sheep, etc., were wonderful news for tax collectors and sinners because it meant Jesus loved even them. And so now we're going to look at Zacchaeus because it's where we get that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, those which were considered the worst of the worst of sinners, traitors, but he was a chief tax collector, risen to the top of his profession, the worst of the worst. Zacchaeus had made his choices. He decided to become a tax collector. He knew the consequences. But for whatever reason, he made his choice. So, he lost his place among the people. He's now a traitor. They wouldn't even consider him a Jew. He lost his place in the community, shunned by those he once called his friends. And he possibly, probably, lost his place in his family. At the very least, he brought shame on them. And he lost his place at synagogue. He couldn't go to synagogue. Every Jew was born a son of Abraham or a daughter of Abraham. But as far as they were concerned, he had lost that birthright. His choices were clear evidence he was lost from God. But now, Jesus was passing his way. He had come to Jericho. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He had heard of Jesus, heard of the miracles, heard of the stories he told. You know, you'd only want to see somebody you had heard of. It was a small profession, being a tax collector. They knew each other. They would have talked about Jesus. He welcomed tax collectors. One was even his disciple, Matthew. I wonder if Zacchaeus thought, maybe he'd welcome me. God's Spirit was at work on his heart. But there were obstacles. He was an outcast. He was short. So he had to overcome the crowd. So Zacchaeus runs and climbs a sycamore tree. And that would have been a short tree. It's a sycamore fig tree, actually, a short tree with spreading branches. And he may well have overhung the road where Jesus was passing along. But either way, whether he overhung the road or was up in the tree beside the road, Jesus was passing his way. He wanted to see Jesus, and nothing was going to stop him. And we must not let the crowd or peer pressure or any obstacle prevent us from getting to Jesus. But don't worry. If you want Jesus, he knows you're there. It's him that's stirring you. But don't let him pass by. Well, if Zacchaeus was lost, he was also loved. What's the best deal you've ever had? You know, that bargain. What's the best deal you've ever had? my son is married to Beth. And they live down in Swindon, or in the Swindon area. And one day a friend came round the house, chatting to Beth, and said, "Oh, Beth, I could really do with a good book to read." And Beth had just finished a good book. So she went upstairs, got the book, brought it down to a friend, said, "Read this. It's a really good book." And the friend was grateful. And said, "I'll tell you what, Beth, thank you so much for this book. Do you know," now she was wealthy, all right, very wealthy. And she said, "We've just converted this barn into a luxury holiday home. How would you like to stay there for a long weekend?" And Beth thought, "I'd like to stay there very much, thank you." And she said, "And you can bring anybody, bring your family along." And so Sue and I went. It was great. I cannot tell you how luxurious it is. It's absolutely amazing. No expense has been spared. So Beth lent her a book. And then she had a long extended holiday weekend in this luxury barn. What a deal. What a deal. Well, I'll tell you a better deal than that. You find it in 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 21, and I'll read it to you. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says this: God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Jesus takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. It's the best deal you will ever get. Don't let Jesus pass by. Zacchaeus was loved by Jesus, but he didn't know it. There's people pass this church every day, every Sunday, that are loved by Jesus, but they don't know it. Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew his name. He knew he was lost. And he knew he was out on a limb, up a tree. He was lost, but greatly valued by Jesus. Just like that lost sheep that the shepherd went out after. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus like the shepherd sought that lost sheep. And Zacchaeus wanted to be found. He was lost, like the lost coin that the woman lost. And like that coin, he was totally reliant on the woman finding it. Zacchaeus was totally reliant on Jesus finding him. Zacchaeus was an outcast, like the lost younger son that went to the far country. But just like the compassionate father in that story, Jesus wanted to welcome Zacchaeus home as a son. And Zacchaeus was an outsider, like the lost older brother in the story, that wouldn't come into the celebration. But Jesus wanted Zacchaeus to join the celebration. So when he gets to the sycamore tree, he looks up at Zacchaeus. Imagine the crowd now. This is a chief tax collector. Jesus won't want anything to do with this sinner. But what an invitation Jesus gives to Zacchaeus. Come down. What a proposal. What an invitation. Come down immediately, he says. I must stay. I must be a guest at your house today. I want to be your friend. Because Jesus is the friend of sinners. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And look at the response. Zacchaeus comes down at once and welcomes Jesus gladly. The people muttered, of course, but Zacchaeus didn't care. Jesus wanted him. He wants of each of us. But will we accept his invitation gladly? Don't let Jesus pass by. Right, I'm going to come to the second part of our message now, but I did want to read another little thing from this book before we moved on. Another little letter that was received from one of the soldiers. It says this: "Only recently I was in a very big engagement with bullets and shells bursting around me every minute, and none of us knew when one of us would be blown to pieces. Dear friend," he's writing this to a friend, "dear friend, that was the time when I turned to God and prayed for protection, and he has answered my prayer. Last night during my watching time, I remembered that you told me about the Lord Jesus and sin and the mercy of God. I was feeling the wings of death flying over my head, and at that solemn moment, I prayed for the first time in many years." Well, third part of our message, found. We don't know exactly what happened in Zacchaeus' house when Jesus went for tea. We don't know what conversation took place, or how long they were together, or if anyone else was present, although I suspect they were. What we know is that Zacchaeus was found and saved and came out a changed man. Nothing, not even his wealth, and he was a rich man as a chief tax collector. Nothing, not even his wealth, was going to stop him following Jesus. There was once a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and Jesus, the Bible tells us, loved him. But his riches were more important than Jesus. But Zacchaeus was changed, and we see the evidence of that in his repentance. In verse 8 it tells us, "Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount.'" I can imagine one or two people saying, "Oh, amazing, great, good," going round to get their money. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Not because of his birth, but now because of his belief." And Jesus met Zacchaeus when he was on the way to Jerusalem. He passed through Jericho because he was going to Jerusalem. And there he was going to go to Calvary and be nailed to a cross. But death couldn't hold him, and he'd have a victorious resurrection so that he could seek and to save the lost, like you and me, like Janice, so that we could come to know him and have our sins forgiven. Whatever our circumstances, whatever the obstacles, don't wait. Do what Zacchaeus did. He came down immediately and received him gladly. Don't let Jesus pass by. Just got one more little story from this book, and then we're going to sing our closing hymn. This is what this soldier wrote. "When your small testaments," these little books, "when your small testaments were distributed on the common at Southampton, I, among others, accepted one in a more derisive than a complimentary manner. I little dreamed that I should use it and find in it great consolation in lonely hours. I have learned to realise the great personality of the Saviour. When at night I have been on duty alone, with him by my side, and the Germans but 30 yards away, I realised that I needed more than my own courage to stand the strain. When the shells of the enemy have burst periodically at my feet, I have marvelled at the fact of still being alive." There's a back of the book, there's a little decision page. And it says this, a little prayer that the soldiers could say. It was this: "Being convinced that I am a sinner and believing that Christ died for me, I now receive him as my personal saviour. And with his help, I intend to confess him before men Well, when we sung this last hymn, "He has held me fast," which you heard earlier, I'm going to pray that prayer. And if anybody in your hearts wants to pray it and receive Jesus as your Saviour, if you've never done so before, then please do that. Or if you just want to recommit your life to Jesus, you can do it by saying that prayer. So, have you still got your bit of paper? It's a lovely, lovely hymn. And we'll sing that to close, and then I'll say that prayer, and then we're done. If you want to pray it with me, I should be praying it to reconfirm my commitment to Jesus. Being convinced that I am a sinner and believing that Christ died for me, I now receive him as my personal saviour. And with his help, I intend to confess him before men. Amen. And the promise in the scripture is this: yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Father, we thank you for this service, an opportunity to remember those that gave their lives for us. And we pray that as we go out from here into this week, Lord, we will know that you are our Saviour. And Lord, that you will hold us fast. Because my Saviour loved me so, he will hold me fast. Amen.